Unsere Empfehlung für deinen Podcast? Frisches Obst und knackiges Gemüse von Aldi. Immer günstig und natürlich mit dem Aldi-Tiefpreisversprechen. Zum Beispiel knackiges Gemüse, saftiges Obst, frische Backwaren. Kurz gesagt, mehr Frische für alle. Entdecke jetzt viele weitere Angebote zum Tiefpreis in deiner Aldi-Nord-Filiale. Und weiter geht's. Einfach lauschen und genießen. Aldi. Gutes für alle.
This is True Crime Psychology and Personality, where we discuss the pathology behind some of the most horrific crimes and those who committed them from a scientifically informed perspective.
I'm Dr. Todd Grande. I have a PhD in counselor education and supervision, and I'm a licensed professional counselor of mental health. Dr. Todd Grande, that's my YouTube channel.
Today's question is, can I analyze the case of Patrice Runner? First, I'll look at the background of this case, including the timeline of the crime, then offer my analysis. Patrice Runner was born sometime around 1966 and lived in Canada. He was a citizen of both Canada and France. His father left his mother when he was young. Patrice and his mother struggled financially. He developed a desire to be rich so he would never have to struggle like this again. Patrice attended the University of Ottawa, but gave up and started his own direct mail business in Montreal. He sold various items like cameras, sunglasses, and weight loss booklets. In the 1990s, a self-proclaimed psychic who went by the name Maria Duval entered the mail order business and would send letters to prospective clients offering her services. She would also send trinkets, which she claimed had magical abilities. Patrice Runner was mesmerized by how successful Maria Duval was in the mail order business and thought that it would make sense for him to add her letters to his business. In 1994, he traveled to France and met with Maria. According to Patrice, Maria agreed that he could use her likeness for direct mail in North America for about 5% of the revenue that he generated. Patrice placed ads in the United States and Canada for Maria's psychic services using a company called Infogest Direct Marketing, or IDM. The letters appeared to come from Maria. Some were even made to appear as if Maria had written them by hand. It's worth noting that in addition to Maria, Patrice also used the name of another French psychic who had achieved some level of popularity. The letters that IDM sent contained various proposals. For example, people could purchase supernatural objects like crystals. They could buy lottery numbers, astrological readings, and fortune telling. Most of the letters asked for between $5 and $50. Some of the letters contained an envelope that people could use to mail back items like family photographs or some of their hair, with the assurance that Maria would personally conduct rituals using these objects. In theory, these rituals would help the person in some way. They were promised positive changes in their lives. For example, one letter read, quote, "When, very soon, you already notice the first positive changes in your life, when the months pass, you see your life being transformed as you wish it to be. When you notice, on your own, that everything I have told you is proven true, you will be delighted you had confidence in me. You have my solemn word, your devoted friend, Maria Duval," unquote. When people responded to these letters, they would receive more letters, sometimes hundreds of letters, over the course of just a few months. Patrice bombarded people with requests for money. Most of these follow-up letters asked for between $20 and $50. His strategy was highly effective. A few years into running his business, many people were upset with what Patrice was doing. They were tired of getting the letters and felt as though they had been the victims of fraud. Some people had lost money playing the lottery numbers, because of course Patrice had no idea what the lottery numbers were going to be. As people were suffering financially because of Patrice, he was benefiting tremendously. He had multiple employees and ran an extremely profitable operation. From 1994 to 2014, Patrice had revenue in excess of $180 million, which came from about 1.5 million people in the United States and Canada. An investigation was launched into Patrice's business based on reports of people being defrauded. Patrice was not exactly easy to find. He moved around the world with his then-girlfriend and two children. He spent time in places like Canada, New Zealand, Costa Rica, Switzerland, France, the Netherlands, and Spain. In 2016, a few employees of Patrice's company, as well as Maria, signed a consent decree with the U.S. government stating that they would stop using the U.S. mail to distribute materials on behalf of psychics. In June of 2018, two employees of IDM pleaded guilty to fraud charges. In October of that same year, Patrice was indicted on 18 counts by the U.S. federal government. He was arrested in Spain 2 months later and extradited to New York City in December of 2020. I guess Patrice Runner did not run fast enough to escape the authorities. The government asserted that over the course of about 20 years, IDM ran a mail fraud scheme that targeted vulnerable people. The scheme involved sending millions of U.S. consumers letters purporting to be from one of two well-known psychics. The letters promised that the recipient had the opportunity to achieve great wealth and happiness with the assistance of the psychic in exchange for a fee. The letters also stated that the psychic had seen a personalized vision regarding the recipient of the letter, but this seemed unlikely considering that the company sent nearly identical letters to tens of thousands of people each week. Patrice didn't have enough money to hire an attorney. He was represented by a public defender. Patrice would later say, quote, "I used to live like a rock star. I was not cautious enough. I thought the mail order business would be forever," unquote. It's a shame that Patrice didn't have access to some type of person who could see the future. Patrice went to trial in June of 2023 in the state of New York. He was found guilty of 8 counts of mail fraud, 4 counts of wire fraud, conspiracy to commit mail and wire fraud, and conspiracy to commit money laundering. The jury found him not guilty on 4 counts of mail fraud. Patrice is facing up to 20 years in prison for each of the 14 counts, or up to 280 years in prison. Now moving to my analysis. Here are my thoughts on a few areas that stood out to me in this case. Item number 1. The authorities said that Maria Duval, one of the psychics who the letters were supposedly sent from, had nothing to do with the scheme. They might have been right, but in 2007, a reporter talked to Maria. She admitted that her letters were sent out in bulk, but it's not clear she realized the nature of the scam. Patrice's ex-girlfriend said that she was in touch with Maria as recently as 2012, and Maria appeared to be pleased with her business arrangements. If nothing else, this calls Maria's psychic powers into question. How did she not know that the letters were being sent in her name? Maria had an interesting past. She was born in 1937 in Italy. Her real name is Maria Carolina Gamba. In 1977, it was reported she directed the police to the location of a missing woman in France. It was probably just luck, or maybe it never happened, but people thought that Maria must have possessed magical powers. Rumors started swirling that she helped find other missing people and the lost dog of Brigitte Bardot. Later, it was revealed that Maria never actually found the dog. Maria supposedly made numerous accurate predictions, for example, predicting the winners of elections and the direction of the stock market. Again, it's unlikely that any of this was actually true, but the public thought she was an amazing psychic. People were amazed by her non-existent powers. Item number 2. The letters sent out by IDM were nearly identical, but the company wanted them to appear individualized and authentic. Handwritten notations were added to some of the letters, as well as coffee stains. The company purchased dates and places of birth in order to convince recipients that the psychic was real. For example, one letter read, quote, "You were born under the sign of Taurus, being born on May 22, 1927, in Kansas City at 12 o'clock. I can already see some aspects of your personality. Like everyone, you have some faults," unquote. If somebody sent money based on this letter, one of their faults would be gullibility. People were amazed by these letters. They couldn't believe that they were receiving a letter which accurately stated their date of birth. Some people are pretty easy to impress. Item number 3. Patrice's company targeted a particular profile as far as sending the letters. For example, the victims tended to be extremely gullible, not in good shape financially, older than average, and they believed in magic. His scam was highly dependent on the same people sending money repeatedly. Again, he made over $180 million from about 1.5 million people, so the average amount of money a victim sent was over $100. Patrice argued that he offered refunds for these psychic services. At least 96% of people who sent money to IDM never requested a refund. Item number 4, was Patrice Runner actually guilty of perpetrating a fraud? The state argued that Patrice convinced victims that Maria Duval cared about them and would use her abilities to help them. Patrice argued that people wanted to believe in something magical. Inherent in this belief is a measure of deceit which people accept, like they were asking to be deceived. Psychic services are inherently misleading, and therefore operating them could not constitute fraud. Let's take a look at the factors both for and against the idea that Patrice was guilty, starting with the inculpatory factors. Patrice never delivered any type of meaningful service during the time he ran the mail order operation. He made assurances which were never honored. The letters were designed to convince recipients that a psychic was paying personal attention to them, which was not true. The letters promised that Maria would personally review responses and take action, but it appears as though she was never involved in the operation. Investigators discovered that IDM removed money from response letters and threw the envelopes away. So photographs, locks of hair, and other items that were in the envelopes from recipients were never used in any type of psychic ritual. Patrice took several steps that were consistent with trying to hide something. In addition to IDM, Patrice had other companies with names like National Parapsychology Center, Zodiac Zone, Destiny Research Group, and Destiny Research Center. He removed his name from company documents. He had his employees shred documents which contained his handwriting, and Patrice kept moving from country to country. He claimed that he was simply searching for the best schools for his children. The trinkets that IDM sold, which supposedly had magical powers, were mass-produced in China. Moving to the exculpatory factors, any reasonable person receiving a letter from a psychic should know that psychics do not have any special abilities. They cannot predict the future. If psychics knew lottery numbers in advance, why would they be sending letters looking for money? There are many examples of people paying money to obtain services or objects that are not real. For example, businesses sell so-called healing crystals and make predictions based on astrology. Magicians charge people to watch shows but never actually perform magic. And pro wrestlers pretend to fight in a ring. None of these examples represent a crime. People sometimes pay money to get lost in a deception. It is entertainment. Patrice sold psychic services that do not exist. However, one could argue that no psychic services exist. What qualifies someone to be a psychic? How can a consumer differentiate a real psychic from a fake psychic when their behavior is 100% identical? If no one can sell psychic services that are real, what differentiates the legal sale of the services from the illegal sale? If Patrice had hired a psychic to perform rituals with the photographs and other items that were sent in by his customers, nothing would have changed from the customer's point of view. There still would have been a failure to deliver any type of service, yet it probably would not have been considered fraud. Many psychics do this every day. They pretend to see the future or to speak to the dead. I guess the lesson here is that if someone is going to sell nonsense, they need to look like they're working hard in order to ensure compliance with the law. As far as the targeting of a particular demographic, like people who are gullible and believe in magic, one could argue that all marketing is based on identifying the demographic characteristics of people who want a service. It is simply a good business practice. When considering all the evidence in this case, do I think that Patrice was guilty of fraud? Yes, I believe he was guilty beyond a reasonable doubt. He made claims which were untrue beyond the nonsensical and false claims that psychic services are real. He claimed a person calling herself a psychic would individually assist letter recipients, and this never happened. Despite the fact that the deployment of psychic services would not have changed anything for the victims, they believed they were buying the attention of a psychic. Patrice should have done a better job pretending to act. Now moving to my final thoughts. The only legitimate psychics are those who promise nothing, which is also the value of their services. Even in the area of entertainment, it's difficult to detect any reason to use a psychic. They don't have any value. Perhaps some people are entertained by sending money to someone in order to get absolutely nothing in return. In the realm of this money elimination enterprise, Patrice was the front runner.
This has been True Crime Psychology and Personality from Ars Longa Media. This content is for educational and entertainment purposes only. Ars Longa, Vita Brevis.